Good morning. It's nice to see everyone today. A little smaller crowd today. I'm guessing that everyone is online or listening on their phones at home. So welcome. For announcements, if anyone has an announcement, they can come up and give it here in a moment. Otherwise, please refer to your bulletin for several announcements that are located in there. Our call to worship also is in the bulletin, so please open to the first page for your call to worship. I'll ask you to read the bolded print. Jesus gives the invitation to every person. Come, follow me, be my disciple. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the midst of a world where cruelty abounds, in the midst of indifference and apathy, in the midst of despair that threatens to swallow up whole lives, whole peoples. Come, let us worship together and share our witness of God's living presence in this broken world. Bye. Can you come lead us in some songs?
I'm going to follow the directive that we keep our masks on this morning, and I encourage you to follow also. Let's turn to number one. Number one, familiar tune, different words. I ask that you think about how these songs relate to the subject of worship. That was my driving force. How do they relate to worship? Number one, and we will remain seated. We will not be standing this morning for COVID-19 as well.
Summoned by the God who made us, rich in our diversity, gathered in the name of Jesus, richer still in unity, let us sing the gifts that differ and in splendor. Sing a new song in new one in faith and love and praise. Great rhythm from the water, broken holiness and life. Every person we are feeling, every person that we are. Let us praise the gifts that differ, and in splendor merry praise. Sing a new journey through thee, one in faith and love and praise. Trust the goodness of creation, trust the spirit from within.
Let us sing.
Number 40, one of my favorite hymns. In thy holy place we bow. And finally, number 25, brethren, we have met to worship.
Pray and hope.
Well, for our offering, we're going to continue to not pass the baskets around, but instead there's an offering box in the back of the sanctuary you can put your offerings in. I'm going to pray for the offering, and then if anyone feels the need to go do that, they can go drop a check off in the basket or in the box back there. And while we're doing that, we will be passing the peace. Now, I saw passing the peace on the draft when I became worship leader, and I thought, how are we going to pass the peace if we're all wearing masks and it's supposed to say 6 feet distancing? So I'll let you guys figure that out. Maybe you do some like air high fives from 6 feet away, but this will be a time where we pass the peace and we reconnect. I think we're all yearning for the time where we can shake hands and pass the peace in our more traditional way. So let's pray for the offering. Dear Lord, accept our offering today. Although we are just one small part of your body, may you multiply it to contribute to your ever-advancing kingdom. Amen.
I don't know if there's any kids here who want to come up and see the pictures on the story. What? Closer? Closer? Okay. If not, I'll try to show them from here. I got a new book. I have a book addiction. I think everybody knows that. Okay, if you don't, talk to Steve, my Steve. I got a new book, and it came with a poster on the inside of the cover. And I usually don't order hardback books, but I did, and now I'm super glad because my poster. Do you want to look at the picture while you're up here? Down there and then you can look at it. Oh, yeah. I'm going to move this a little bit so you guys can see the pictures. I got asked if I was going to take my mask off while I was reading, and I said no because I'm loud. And you guys aren't old enough to get a vaccine yet. So the book I picked today is called All Are Welcome. And we're getting close to that time when it's time for people to head back to school. So I thought this was a good book because Pastor Steve is going to be talking about, Pastor Steve's going to be talking about how Jesus welcomed the disciples. Yes? No? Yeah? Okay, sure, he says. So I thought, well, here's a book about welcoming for school. I don't know. I'm so, like, not pleased with this. Hold on a minute. There we go. All right. Pencils sharpened in their case. Bells are ringing. Let's make haste. School's beginning. Dreams to chase. All are welcome here. No matter how you start your day, what you wear, when you play, or if you come from far away, all are welcome here. In our classroom, safe and sound, fears are lost and hope is found. Raise your hand, we'll go around. All are welcome here. Gather now, let's all take part. We'll play music, we'll make art. We'll share stories from the heart. All are welcome here. Time for lunch. What a spread! A dozen different kinds of bread. Everyone's going to eat until they're fed. All are welcome here. Open doors, rush outside. We will swing, we will slide. We'll have fun side by side. All are welcome here. You're part of a community. Our strength is our diversity, a shelter from adversity. All are welcome here. We will learn from each other. Special talents we'll uncover. There's a big world to discover. All are welcome here. So much to learn, so much to do, and when the busy day is through, can't wait to come back and start anew. All are welcome here. Head for home to get some rest and greet tomorrow ready and fresh. Our time together is the best. All are welcome here. You have a place here. You have a space here. you are welcome here. So when you guys are maybe going to school, or if you're going somewhere new and you're not sure about if it's a familiar place, and so maybe you're a little bit like, ooh, what's gonna happen when I get there because it's new, just remember, you're welcome to be there, and there will be people that are looking out for you there, okay? Let's pray. God, I just thank you for these children. I thank you that we are able to gather here in person today. I just thank you for the warmth outside and for the cooling breezes. Just help us now to listen as Pastor Steve speaks to us. In your name we pray, amen. Thanks, guys.
Good morning. I'll be reading out of the Common English Translation, Exodus 3, 1 through 6. Moses was taking care of the flock for his father-in-law, Jethro, Midian's priest. He led his flock out to the edge of the desert, and he came to God's mountain called Horeb. The Lord's messenger appeared to him in a flame of fire in the middle of a bush. Moses saw that the bush was in flames, but it didn't burn up. Then Moses said to himself, "Let me check out this amazing sight and find out where the bush isn't burning up. Find out why the bush isn't burning up." When the Lord saw that he was coming to look, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." Moses said, "I'm here." Then the Lord said, "Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals because you are standing on holy ground." He continued, "I am the God of your father, Abraham's God, Isaac's God, and Jacob's God." Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God.
And for our New Testament reading scripture, from Matthew 4, 18 through 22. As Jesus walked alongside the Galilee Sea, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, throwing fishing nets into the sea because they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," he said, "and I'll show you how to fish for people." Right away, they left their nets and followed him. Continuing on, he saw another set of brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, repairing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Steve, you come share.
Lord be with you. Just an update while I get this on. In light of masks and just the current situation with the pandemic, we decided it would make sense to postpone our hymn sing. So rather than gathering together, forget if it was supposed to be next week or the week after, but instead of gathering all together with masks to sing, we decided we'd hold off. So more on that to come. If you're not a diehard baseball fan, you might have missed what happened this week. It happened in the cornfields of Dyersville, Iowa. I had missed it until Nancy Beachy mentioned it Thursday night as we were setting up for a ZLT meeting. This last week, the Chicago White Sox beat out the New York Yankees. They beat them by a score of 9-8 in the 2021 Major League Baseball Field of Dreams game. It was called the Field of Dreams game because it was played in the middle of an Iowa cornfield. Going into the ninth, the White Sox were leading the Yankees 7-4. The Yankees pulled ahead with a pair of two-out, two-run home runs. Game ended when the White Sox shortstop, Tim Anderson, hit a walk-off home run, driving in one already on base, giving the Sox 9 and ending the game. Bit of trivia, the first ever walk-off home run by the White Sox against the Yankees happened in July of 1919, and that walk-off home run was hit by none other than Shoeless Joe Jackson, character heavily featured in the 1989 movie called Field of Dreams, which the game this last week was named after. In case you're not familiar with the movie, Field of Dreams, it's a story of an Iowa farmer named Ray Kinsella, who, along with being a baseball fan, starts to hear voices while he's plowing the field. The voices reach out to Ray with the now famous line, "If you build it, they will come." The fictional movie contains multiple historical famous baseball players and themes. James Earl Jones makes an appearance along with a few other well-known actors, all which add multiple subplots to the film. While it could easily be mistaken for one of those underdog sports movies, since Ray almost loses his farm to the bank in the midst of plowing it up to build a baseball field, the movie is really about the estranged relationship Ray had with his father, and as a result, with himself. While steeped in baseball folklore and legend, the 1989 movie Field of Dreams is a story of how Ray Kinsella makes peace with himself by having one final game of catch with the ghost of his dead father. The story of wrestling with self-identity and the journey toward resolution, it's plenty common in our culture. It's made millions, maybe billions, for Hollywood and sold many books. It only makes sense because it's a journey many of us can identify with. We regularly ask questions like, who am I? What makes me me? What's the point of life? What am I doing here? Many, if not all, of those Hollywood stories eventually offer up the answer to such questions with some version or type of individual happiness and self-fulfillment. That's the goal. Figure out and do what makes you happy. It's the framing story, the meta-narrative of not just our own culture, but throughout much of history. Since June, we'd been journeying through the book of Titus. We concluded our journey last week, and one of the early themes we discussed was this notion of framing story. In Titus 1:9, Paul writes, "They must pay attention to the reliable message as it has been taught to them so that they can encourage people with healthy instruction and refute those who speak against it." All throughout the letter to Titus, Paul encourages followers of Jesus to be the set apart people of God so that they can live out God's story, because God's story is different than the stories of their culture. God's story is the only one that will bring about true fulfillment. God's story is different than the stories of our culture, even great stories like the one told in Field of Dreams. When asked, what is Christian worship? Professor, theologian, and worship historian Robert Weber responds with, "Worship does God's story." Weber's saying that when the Christian church is at its best, our worship is the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. Yes, our worship should clearly tell God's story of creation, redemption, and recreation, but it shouldn't just tell that story as if it were something we were standing outside of and looking at and pointing to from a distance. When Christians gather together, we tell the story in such a way that the story of God is becoming a present reality here and now. Redemption and recreation are presently happening in our worship. That is, when we're at our best. Unfortunately, Weber also points out that instead of doing God's story, too often the worship happening in Christian churches tells a different story, albeit a story we're all familiar with about a journey from self-estrangement to self-actualization. Too often, our worship services tell a story just like Ray Kinsella's in Field of Dreams. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm all for us taking time, like Ray, to be our best selves, to do some introspection and healing. The problem is that in Ray's journey, in Ray's story, in the story that's told in Field of Dreams, and in worship focused on our journey, we're the main characters, not God. When our worship does God's story, we are not the main character. In God's story, and in worship that does God's story, God is both the subject and the object of our worship, not ourselves. I'm not sure if many Anabaptists bear the scars, but as a musician and pastor who served in evangelical churches since the mid-1990s, I've lived through many worship wars. That war continues to rage on. In the midst of the divisions created by worship style preference, some voices have provided insightful ways forward. One such voice is that of someone I've already mentioned, Robert Weber. Now, in full disclosure, one of the schools I received a degree from is called the Robert E. Weber Institute for Worship Studies. Robert Weber founded the school and taught there until he died. My understanding of worship has been heavily influenced by Weber, so much so that it'd be impossible for me to cite or reference everything that I get from Weber. So just figure, if I'm making any worthwhile point about worship, it probably came from Weber. Having given credit where it's due, let's get back to finding a way through the worship wars. If the first or most important topic when it comes to worship is the topic of style, we're already far down the wrong path. To me, it's most helpful to begin with these three distinctions when it comes to worship discussions. What is our content? What is our structure? And then what is our style? And it's in that order. What is the content of our worship? Content of our worship focuses unabashedly on the Trinitarian God we see expressed in Scripture. The Trinitarian God is the only content of worship that forms a faithful Christian worldview. Scripture, with all of the challenges of translation and interpretation and application, it's still the best written account of God creating, redeeming, and recreating all things. The content of our worship is the gospel. It's what Paul calls the reliable message as we have received it. So if that's the content, what's the structure? Throughout the story of God, there's a consistency with how God interacts with both individuals and groups. Well, the details might change based on context. It's also how the believers in Acts conducted themselves in worship. It's not any sort of secret formula, and it's certainly not so specific that it limits God. That worship structure is simply this: God calls, God speaks, God restores, and God sends. That's how we're breaking up this series on worship. In a few minutes, I'm going to take just a closer look at the first item, God calls. Next week, we're going to look at God speaks, followed by God restores, and finally, God sends. So, we've covered the content of our worship, the gospel, Trinitarian God that we see revealed in Scripture. We've covered the structure. God calls, God speaks, God restores, God sends. Once we get those two straight, we can move on to number three, the style of our worship. What's the style of our worship? Well, since I'm here on the topic, I'd like to take a short diversion and cover style somewhat quickly by saying our style of worship should be contextually appropriate. When we have the context, the content of our worship right, that is the gospel story, and we have the structure of our worship consistent with what we see in Scripture, with what we see in God's story, it's the, again, the fourfold pattern of calling, speaking, restoring, and sending, we can be confident that our worship is consistent with Scripture, and it's faithful to the reliable messages it has been taught to us. Knowing that our worship content and structure is faithful, we're freed to communicate that content and structure in a way our culture and community both understand and can relate to. The style of worship can take whatever form necessary to be accessible. Because of the vast style differences and developments in the over 2,000-year history of the Christian church, worship style has never been a matter of biblical tradition, but it is a matter of taste. So we allow our style to reflect who we are as a people. If we pick a style that's not accessible, how will people hear the message of the gospel contained in our worship? At the same time, if our style is accessible, but the content and structure are no longer faithful to God's story, we're back to telling Ray Kinsella's story from Field of Dreams, or our own story, rather than God's story. So having covered all of the precursory introduction stuff, having covered the style, it's a matter of being contextually appropriate, I want to circle back to the first item in the structure of our worship. That's God calls. For this series on worship, I've picked out a few familiar passages that illustrate how this fourfold structure is worked out in God's story. A few examples. Two were read this morning, another will be read in one of the weeks coming, and it's in Genesis 12. It's God calling Abraham. And in Genesis 12, God is the one to make the first move toward Abram. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your land, your family, and your father's household for the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation and will bless you. I will make your name respected and you will be a blessing." In the move toward Abram, God is laying the foundation for covenant. God is calling Abram to big things, and big things are going to happen. In Exodus 3, one of the passages that Serenity read, Moses is taking care of his father-in-law's sheep on the edge of the desert. Exodus says, "The Lord's messenger appeared to him in a flame of fire in the middle of a bush. As Moses went to check it out, the Lord called Moses, saying, 'Moses, Moses.' Then the Lord said, 'Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals, because you're standing on holy ground.'" In the Matthew 4 passage, Jesus calls the disciples, saying, "Come, follow me. I'll show you how to fish for people." It'd take too long to walk through every instance in Scripture of how God calls, but these three somewhat well-known passages help illustrate the pattern. When the story of God breaks into history, it always begins with God's actions. The act of coming before God is not derived from any human intent, but from divine mandate. As we worship, as we do God's story Sunday after Sunday, the pattern of Scripture continues. God is the one that initiates worship, not us. God is the one who has called us together, who gathers us together here in person and online. God is the one who invites us into God's presence, to recognize God's presence around us as we worship. And just as these passages from Genesis, Exodus, and Matthew show God's calling, they also show the appropriate response when God calls. And it's a pretty simple one. Genesis 12:4 says, Abram left, just as the Lord told him. Exodus 3:4, Moses said, I'm here. Matthew 4, right away they left their nets and followed him. Then later, immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. When God called, they went. Such is our response in worship. God calls, we come. Of these three accounts of God's calling, the Moses story illustrates this next point the best. As we respond to God's call, God's invitation to gather in God's presence, we come face to face with our own imperfections, our own brokenness, our own sin. In God's presence, Moses takes off his sandals and hides his face because he is afraid to look at God. In another well-known passage on worship from Isaiah 6, when in the presence of God, Isaiah says, "Mourn for me, I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." See, there's something about being in God's presence that brings us to a renewed awareness of both God's awesomeness and our unworthiness. The Psalms call this awareness the ascent of worship. It's where the worship journey begins as the people of God gather for worship in the temple. The process of God gathering us for worship is that as we come before God, we are being formed into a worshiping community, experiencing the transcendence of God, knowing we're sinners before a mighty God, confessing our sin, and hearing God's words of forgiveness, grace, and mercy. I think it works to consider worship. What happens here as we gather, again, in person and online? It's a dialogue between God and us. God initiates that dialogue by inviting us to gather in God's presence. We respond to that invitation by, well, gathering. We recognize God's amazing perfection along with our own imperfection. We receive God's grace as we continue to worship and remain in God's presence. This is how God's story begins with Abram, with Moses, with the disciples, and with so many throughout Scripture. It's this pattern that continues with us week after week as we respond to God's invitation to gather together, to actively proclaim God's story in word and deed. So these simple ideas are where we begin our series on worship. One, when we're at our best, our worship does God's story. It doesn't just tell God's story, but God's story is becoming a present reality. The kingdom of God is becoming a present reality here and now in worship. While situations often change, there's a consistency to God's story. That consistency begins with God's action toward us. And it's followed by our response. Worship begins with God's invitation to gather, God's call, and we respond by gathering together. That's the first step, the first part in worship. God calls, and so we come. Next week, we'll take a look at what God does once we're gathered together. Let's pray. Lord, thanks so much for gathering us together this morning. Thanks for your call on our lives. Thanks or moving first. Thinks that everything we know about you is because you have first moved toward us. Help us in our worship to more faithfully do your story. Forgive us for the times that we get so focused on our own story that we end up making worship about us. In the midst of our worship, may we proclaim and live out and do and embody your story in such a way that the kingdom truly will become a present reality, that lives will be changed and restoration will be happening. Reconciliation will be happening in our worship, so that you might receive all the glory and honor. Amen.
A response song is found on page 129, O Worship Our God in the Beauty of Holiness. Number 129.
All right, now's time for our prayer and share. So if you have any prayers or anything you'd like to share with the congregation, now would be the time to do it. Just from your bulletin, I'd like to lift up Lynn and Janice Miller over at Rock of Ages in McMinnville as they transition into their new ministry. Personally, I'd like to lift up teachers as they're transitioning back into classes here over the next few weeks, and obviously the students as well. I know we have very many teachers in the congregation, so it's again unprecedented, and the other group that I was going to mention was healthcare workers. We always have to have them in our prayers. Teachers get a little break and then get to return to classes. Healthcare workers don't get that break. So just lift up all of our healthcare workers as well. So are there any prayer and share concerns they would like to lift up? As a teacher, I have wait time. So you have to give them plenty of wait time. It's really awkward sometimes, but Harold has one.
My daughter Paige called last night, and the first words she said were, "Dad, stay away." She was in the emergency room yesterday, and she tested positive for COVID. So pray for her.